Redemption, the act, process, or an instance of redeeming. Redeem, to buy back, repurchase, restore, reform, repair. To remove the obligation of payment, to exchange for something of value. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7.
Broken and poured out for the love of his creation, God paid a debt that he didn't owe.
Well, thanks for joining us for another Redemption show. This has become my very favorite show because I'm getting to meet people that I never would have met and hear their testimonies. And I'm telling you, every week, as our listeners get to listen, you guys out there hear these testimonies, and I'm praying that you're strengthened. I'm praying that that they'd reach people for Christ that don't already know him. I'm praying for all that, but I got to tell you, I am being blessed beyond measure by getting to share in people's lives this way. And I have an excellent guest this week, Mimi Majerus. Mimi, thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
It's an honor and a pleasure to get to know you this way. And the way this works always is that, you know, I'm getting to know you, even though we've kind of communicated over almost a year now on Facebook. But you know, we haven't gotten to know each other this way, and I know I want to hear about you and your family, but most importantly, I want to hear about how you came to know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's doing with your life. So I'm going to lead you into that and just say, you know, tell us about you, tell us where you come from, and you know, go as far back as you want, and let us know about Mimi.
Okay. First, I want to thank you. I mean, it is kind of strange how we've been connected through Facebook. It's just amazing how God uses technology in this day and time. And to start with me, I was just a girl that grew up in Northern California, in Sacramento, California, actually, and came from a Christian home and went to a Christian school when I was younger. And my life seemed perfect in my eyes, until my father was diagnosed with brain cancer when I was 12. And it was pretty rough for our family for a long time. And I think I started to just step back even as a child and wonder where God fit in all of that. And hearing people speak about him and my dad's situation, and then sitting back and watching. And it was just, it's amazing to me how God's sovereignty works through tragedy sometimes. And he's just faithful time and time again. And you know, I went through a really rough spell for a while after my father ended up passing away from it's called GBM. It's a form of brain cancer that is really rapidly malignant. And at the time, this was in the 80s, there wasn't a lot of treatment for that. So we watched him go through radiation and chemotherapy for 2 years, and we took care of him at home before he passed. And after that, I was a little rebellious and a little hurt, or a lot hurt. And you know, I started to really step away from the Lord. I was a young child that was forming her relationship with this God that she heard about but had yet to really experience. Mm. And I really started to run from that. I think I was a little angry at God and hurt. And it started a path of destruction in my life, starting at an early age, just all the way through my teens and early 20s.
Mm. I can't even imagine losing your dad at an early age like that. And I mean, I can't imagine losing my dad now.
Yeah, it was hard. I had a lot of questions that didn't seem to have answers. And you know, God's so sovereign and so merciful that even the questions that I asked as a young teen, the times that I would reach out and have a conversation with the Lord, there was questions. And in his sovereignty over the years, he's answered every one. And, you know, even when I didn't want to listen to him call me by name when I was running from him, I still felt his love chasing me. And I tried to ignore it for so long. I mean, I went as far the other direction as a person could go. I heard a speaker, a national women's Bible study speaker, Beth Moore, say she didn't feel like anyone has ever out-sinned her. And I've wanted to call her and tell her I think she met her match. Yeah. Because I really went as far the other direction as you can think of. I mean, I worked in an abortion clinic for 11 years. Mm. I lived a homosexual lifestyle for 2 years. I did drugs. I was as promiscuous as you could even imagine. I got seeped into this world of just darkness.
Yeah.
And through all of it, I still heard God calling my name. And I kept running. And it was just amazing to me that he wasn't chasing me with some spiritual baseball bat. He wasn't chasing me with this guilt that I think some people imagine when they hear that God's chasing you. He was chasing me with just overwhelming love and forgiveness. And for so long, I tried to ignore it. And I was pregnant with my third child. I had been married and divorced, had two children, remarried, pregnant with my dog, with another child. And I just decided that I was going to surrender to God. He was calling me, and I just couldn't ignore him any longer. My life was a mess. I had done so many things and ran so far that there were so many consequences now that I was living with, but I was just tired. I was tired of running. Mm-hmm. I was tired of making excuses for my behavior. I was tired of blaming other people for what I got myself into. And I was just at the end of myself. And I just surrendered. And I can't tell you the overwhelming love that I felt in that moment. It was something that changed me forever. It's not really anything I can even put into words. It was at that moment of surrender, of stopping the striving and stopping running, that he just came in and took over. And it was like he was just waiting for that the entire time. Hmm. That all I needed to do was just surrender and stop and say, I can't do it anymore. And the road since then, it's been crazy, but it's worth every minute.
Yeah, absolutely. What a, you know, I can relate on a level of knowing when what it's like to run and then turn around and recognize that he's just standing there with his arms wide open.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, and his voice that I heard all of a sudden became so clear. The voice I'd been trying to ignore for so long when I surrendered was so clear. And it was all love and forgiveness and mercy and grace.
Huh. So what, with all that, where, what has he got you up to now? With that kind of a background, I mean, I can only imagine how he's using you. And I don't mean in some, you know, like over the top, out in public kind of way, but I mean, you know, he uses those kind of things for certain reasons.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's used every bit of my brokenness. You know, I, at some point, remember saying to him, all the things that I've done, all the darkness that I've been entrenched in or that I was entrenched in for so long, Lord, use it. Please use it. And he has. It's amazing to me how he brings people into my life that think that no one can understand where they are or where they've been. And it's exactly where I was.
Yeah.
And it's not strange, really, when you think about it, because he promises to work all things together for the good of those who love him, that are called according to his purpose. And I used to hear that, but I see it now. I see his faithfulness to his children and the people that are called according to his purpose, that he doesn't let anybody be forgotten, that no one's forgotten with God. Nobody is invisible with God. Your pain and the pain that you think that you have that no one can understand, I guarantee you there's others that understand. And he'll bring them to minister to you the way he brought others to minister to them. You know, when I got remarried to my husband now, and we have two children, so altogether I have four, and my husband wasn't a believer because I wasn't living God's will for my life when we got married.
Right.
And my husband has become a believer. But we've had a really rough marriage. We had a really rough marriage for a really long time. And God has called me to prayer in a way that it's just unbelievable to me how he's taken the broken, desolate parts of my life that from the world view on the outside look as though there was no redemption. There was no restoration. And he has brought beauty from ashes. He has heard my cries and answered every prayer. I have such a godly husband. I have a husband who prays over me and my family every day. At one point in my marriage, I thought that would never happen. I thought, okay, God, I really need you in this yet again. I can't tell you how many times I've cried out to the Lord for restoration in my life, in my marriage, with my children, and he answers every time, above and beyond anything I could ever have imagined. And he's called me to prayer now. I mean, he had someone come alongside me and pray with me every week for my marriage. And now he's calling me to do that with others. Wow. It's not something that's announced, except for right now I'm telling you about it, but it's something very private that God's really put on my heart about praying with others over their struggles and strongholds and brokenness, because he calls us to stand in the gap for others. Mm-hmm. And if I would have looked at my life now from 10 years ago, I would not have been able to imagine the roads that he's taken me down and the things that he's brought me to. And the amazing, most wonderful part of all of it is it has nothing to do with me. It's all about him. It's all about his glory and his might and his power and what he can do with a broken life, a broken life that cries out to him. It's not about getting to a certain spot before you can cry out to the Lord. It's crying out in your brokenness. It's crying out in that desperation for him. Because I really believe, from what he's shown me, he loves to show up in the impossible places of your life. Those places that you think there's no help, there's no cure, that the pit you're in is so deep that you can't even see a light. He can still reach you and pull you right out. And it's amazing to me, his grace and his mercy in all of it, that he still meets you with undying love.
It's an overwhelming feeling on the times when you experience that. That's the peace that passes all understanding, and I get that, and I still find myself crying out for that peace, you know, going through different things in life. But it's different now, because before I would cry out for it because I wanted to know what it was like, and now I cry out for it because I don't want to forget what it's like.
Oh yeah,
I want that feeling so badly.
Oh yeah, his presence now to me, there's nothing that compares. Where I think before in the past it was an idea about his presence before I really started to seek him. The idea of his presence was scary to me because I hadn't really experienced it. I didn't really know what it meant to be in his presence fully, to be surrendered in his presence. And it is scary because when you are in his presence, you see yourself truly for who you are. And that's not capable of really being able to do anything without him. And for a lot of people, especially me, that was really hard. That's a hard place. And now I long for it because I know that anything I try to do on my own fails. Any place I try to go in my life without his presence isn't going to work. And I want so desperately to stay there, and I want to be used by him. I want to be used by him. I want every broken part of my life to be exposed to others so that they can see that there is a mighty God that loves them, that there's no stronghold that there's not a deliverance for. There's no addiction that he's not the healer to. There's no problem in your life that he's not your counselor. There's no sickness that he's not your healer. And I really want people to understand this is really where he's brought me. I think in this, especially the last couple months, take him at his word. He wants to be known by you, and he wants you to know him and not just believe in him, but to believe him, believe his word. When he says, in Romans 9:33 and 10:13 and so many other places, it says, those who put their trust in me will not be put to shame. I can't tell you how many times I've held on to that when circumstances in my life looked out of control. And if you were to look from the outside in the world and to look in, it would look impossible. Yeah. And he kept telling me, but those who put their trust in me aren't going to be put to shame, Mimi. And I kept saying, but God, what if you don't show up? What if you can't fix this problem? What if you can't change this heart? What if you can't heal my heart? And he kept telling me, those who put their trust in me will not be put to shame. It was like him telling me, you keep your eyes on me and let me do the work, and I will take care of the rest. And I can't tell you, every single time, he has shown himself faithful. There's not an instant or a time, and I've believed him for some crazy things, for some big things, the salvation of my husband, you know, the salvation right now of my son. And he keeps telling me, those who put their trust in me will not be put to shame. And however that looks to whoever hears that, trusting God for a situation, he looks at a heart. He looks at our hearts, and a heart that's fully surrendered. And if there's an area in your life that you think he can't touch, or that the circumstances are too rough, or the marriage is too broken, or the child's too far gone, I guarantee you that's a lie. And don't limit him, because those who trust in him will not be put to shame. And he restores and renews and rebuilds in a way that your mind can't even conceive.
Preach on, girl.
I'm Italian. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. It's so true. And, you know, like I said in the beginning of this show, I mean, these, you know, every time I talk to somebody, I get, there's something that always applies to me even. And, you know, it's like, gosh, I'm so encouraged by your story. And there's, you know, there's similarities in my life. This particular show is not about me though.
But it's about all of us, because we're the body.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And I just love what you're saying, because it's relevant. It's God, and he's always relevant. And you're right. He says, you know, lay it on me. If you don't, you know, you take me for what I said and what I'm saying to you now. The problem between the what I said and what I'm saying is, a lot of times we just don't listen to the now part. You know, we can read what he said, and we don't always apply that. That's the living word, that it's applicable right now. And he's saying something to you now. We just gotta listen. I fall short of that all the time.
Yeah, you know, Charles Stanley had. I was listening to him not too long ago, and he's talking about obedience. And something he said really struck me, because it really comes down to this and faith and so many other things. But it really comes, for me, it really came down to this. He said, you know, when you're obedient to what God tells you, whether he's speaking to you about a certain situation in your life or about something maybe that he's calling you to, when you're obedient to him, the outcome of our obedience is his responsibility, which just overwhelmed me for a moment, because it just so spoke to me that when I'm doing what I know the Lord is asking me to do, whether it's surrender, whether it's forgive, whether it's love in a way that I'm not capable of doing without his love, when I'm obedient to him, what happens after that is his responsibility, which, oh, I find so much comfort in that. I mean, what security that brings, what safety that brings, to know that when you're obedient to what God's calling you to do, when you're obedient to him, and his word and what he's called of you, that what happens after, you don't need to worry about. You just do what he's asking you to do, and he takes care of the rest.
He does. And I would even add to that, it's funny because two things, you and my wife have to get together, because she actually leads a Beth Moore study here. And
I love that.
Yeah. Beth is great. And then Charles Stanley is probably our, you know, our overall favorite. I mean, I love my home church. I love my pastor, but we just don't miss Charles Stanley, because the guy is just as, you know, as in your face with the word as it gets. I just love him.
And, well, you know the truth when you hear it.
That's right. And I love, you know, I grew up in Florida and spent some time in Georgia and Alabama, so I just kind of love that Southern approach to it all anyways, the dialect, the way he, you know, says the things he says. But I will add to that, not only would he say, you know, it's God's responsibility, but if we're being obedient to God, it's his pleasure. You know, it's just in obedience, then it's his pleasure to provide those things for us. You know, he loves us as a father loves a child. And sometimes what he's looking for us is to kind of look up at him like a child and say, you know what? You're dad, you're father, you know, you're the provider, you're the protector, you're all these things to me. And as a child would look up to his father, I've experienced that. And what a wonderful thing to know that it's his pleasure to take care of us.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I mean, I was reading Psalm 34 this morning, and it just speaks to his faithfulness. That when you cry out to him, he hears you. I used to wonder sometimes, pray for certain situations, really rough things, like rough times in my marriage or rough times with a wayward child. And I would cry out to God, and there was a part of me that would just wonder for a minute, do you hear me? I mean, do you really hear me? Am I just kind of crying out to the ceiling here? I don't see much happening, God. And I really need to believe that you hear me. And there was times where he was silent and he was saying to me, are you still going to believe me? Are you still going to choose to trust me, even though right now you don't hear me? And I had to say yes every time. And I'm telling you, I am convinced now. There's no wondering if he hears me. I am so convinced that when you call, he hears you. He says in his word that when you cry out to me, in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, my plans for you are good. They're to prosper you and not to harm you. And when you seek me with all your heart, you'll be found by me. And I have just clung to that I see now. I have tasted of the Lord, and he is good. I have seen answered prayer in a way that I just want to encourage people that when you think nothing's happening and you've prayed and you're trusting the Lord to do something mighty, to do something big in yourself, in someone else, in a situation, and you don't necessarily with your human eyes see an answer yet, you hold on and you let your faith be your eyes. You don't succumb to circumstances, and you trust your God because he's mighty and he shows himself faithful, and he will not let anyone else get the glory for what he's done.
That's right.
And when it comes, it's good.
It is. That's right. You know, four chapters down, I've got my Bible open to the same place. Four chapters down in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me, and I will show you great and mighty things. And I know many people, you know, would say, well, that applies to somebody else. That, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, that applies to me. That applies to me. And I know it does, because I've seen that. And crying out for him, you know, he has shown me great and mighty things. And I've got a dear friend who their band sings a song called Great and Mighty Things. And, you know, I just am thinking about it now with what you just said in Jeremiah 29 and then fast forwarding to 33. I just, you know, I would encourage everybody to know, just on the line of what we're talking about today, give him a try. Call out to him. Try God on, you know, with one foot in, one foot out. I'm saying jump in and trust
him. Yes. Word,
and he will reveal to you great and mighty things.
Oh, yes. And it goes beyond what you can imagine. Picture the greatest thing you can think of, and I guarantee you he's going to do it more. Yeah. He is such a faithful God. He can't be anything but faithful. Yeah. It's who he is. And the love is overwhelming. And for those that feel as though they're not worthy of love, I guarantee you he died to prove you wrong.
That's right. That's right. And amen to that. And on that, I will we'll close out. I'm so thankful for you sharing, Mimi. It's sometimes it's easy to share, and sometimes it's tough. You know, you just were open and shared everything. And I'm thankful. I know our listeners are thankful, and we're all experiencing a great blessing from hearing your story and being encouraged. And you're strengthening the body when you do that. I love it.
You know, I've told him, do whatever you're going to do with me, Lord. And it takes me out of my comfort zone. I got to let you know, but you know, I know it's so much bigger. And I've been in so many different places in my life that, I would just hate to not, speak of his glory and the things that he's done for me, in a way that can encourage somebody else. So I thank you.
Well, thank you. One day we'll, I would hope that we all, when we all see him, we'll have known we've made a difference, you know, and that's, I know for me, that's where I want to be. I fear the idea of being in front of him and thinking that I had opportunities to make a difference and I didn't take them. And, I encourage everybody to, to go out there and make a difference for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Today, right now, do it.
That's right.
Well, thanks, Mimi.
No, thank you.
It's been, like I said, an honor and a joy to get to know you better and to have you on the station. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Redemption right here on Radio 323. Join us every Sunday at 7 for stories of victory through Jesus Christ. And remember, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7. Join us again next week right here on Radio 323.com.
He gave us all he had to give so that we could truly live. So let's give all we have to him so that we can be completely free. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But as they placed the thorns on his brow, as they drove the nails into his head,
hands and his feet. He looked past the moment to where we are now and gave us the victory from what seemed his defeat. He said, here's my body, it's broken in two. Here is my blood, let it cover you. All that I have is now yours to receive. Payment in full so that you can be free. Well, he gave us all.